One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for London.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. You can connect with me. The new website is macroaggressions.io. You can find everything that we're doing over there and find our sponsors page and check out our sponsors. Speaking of that, have you made the decision to get yourself healthy? People over at Chemical Free Body are fantastic at this. They're building products, supplements that actually work. He keeps the chemicals out, thus the name, chemicalfreebody.com. Go take a look. Tim James has been on this show more than just about anybody. He put me through the gut, the 90-day detox challenge. Oh, boy. On two different occasions, I've done it. I encourage you to take a look at it. It's Green 85 every morning. Gut detox, toxin detox, ultra enzymes, probiotics in capsule format. Just drink the green drink in the morning, take a couple capsules, and you're good. You do that for 90 days. It changed my life. I had to go out and buy new shorts, and I'm not somebody that is usually in the market for new shorts. And well, you know, it just kind of happened. So it stands to reason it could do the same for you. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. If you find something you like, the promo code on your way out is macro. And also big thanks to the folks at EMP Shield. They're building the best shielding device that will work on your home, on your car, on your boat or RV, if you've got one, or maybe you've got a generator, you can hook it up to that. It'll protect against EMPs, solar flares, lightning. All these things are possible. Hopefully we don't get the EMP, but at least you'll know that your device is many times more efficient than a single-use military design. It can handle up to 40 EMP strikes. I mean, your nerves probably can't, but the EMP Shield can. So why don't you do this? Just go to the website, read about EMPShield.com. The link is in the show notes. You can install it yourself. And there's installation videos if you're handy. It installs like a type 2 surge protector. So, or having an electrician come out and do it for you. But if you find something you like, the promo code is macro. If you want more than one of them, the bundle package brings that dollar per unit price down to a very reasonable amount. So check it out, empshield.com, promo code macro. Well, back from an Acapulco, talking food. there's only one person I'm really going to reach out to when it comes to growing your own food. It's Marjorie Wildcraft from the Grow Network. Hi, Marjorie. Good to see you again.
Hey, Charlie. Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, it was so, and Uncle Bolko was so fun. You guys got to pick up a copy of the replay. I know Charlie's going to have a link for you, but
yeah,
it was so fun. Really fun.
You know, you feel re-energized. You meet a lot of people that are doing interesting things, that are actually doing things, you know, not just talking about things. I knew, you know, when I saw you there last year in 2023, I knew that you were going to be very popular. I was grateful to see you back the following year because, boy, I've never talked about food so much in my life. And it seems to be that these days, it's kind of making it into the headlines. You sent me over an article, U.S. cattle herd, lowest in 73 years. What?
Yeah.
That sounds like a really bad thing. What are we doing? Are we playing Russian roulette with our food supply?
Well, some of that has been droughts here and there, right? And farmer ranchers, if you can't afford to feed the cows, you send them off to get processed, right? And that's actually one of the reasons, believe it or not, beef prices are lower than what they should be. It's been ranchers selling off their herds. And the other thing there is, like a government push to stop raising meat. Like there's been this whole vilification of cows, like they fart and they're causing global climate change. And, you know, right? The ridiculous bullshit that they make up. But, you know, if you think about it, 70 something years, our population has more than doubled. Like 70 years ago, we were at like, 3 billion people on this planet. You know, the U.S. had a population of, 125 million or something like that. I mean, so we have less cows now, and we have more than double the population. You know what's going to happen, right? the price of beef is already going up, but it's just going to continue to go up.
We see these new carbon-based credit cards. MasterCard, partner of the World Economic Forum, has this credit card that they debuted. It's not perfect yet for them. They're still working on it, but it's basically assigning some sort of climate score to the things that you buy. I can envision a scenario in which, you know, when you buy that red meat for the 4th of July big weekend barbecue that you're going to have, your credit card doesn't work. It gets declined because your carbon footprint is a little bit too high, higher than Klaus Schwab would like. Is that something that you guys are starting to see?
I'll tell you, back in 2015, so you know how they do those scenarios, like these John Podesta things, like in September 2019, yeah. Bill Gates funded the Event 201, and it was all about a global pandemic. And then, whoa, 4 or 5 months later, we have a global pandemic. You know, like, imagine that. And it rolls out pretty much identically the way they scenarioed. Well, in 2015, and I was not as clued in at that point in time of the importance of watching these scenarios, but I saw it because it was related to food, and I kind of looked at it, and it was sponsored by Cargill, which is the world's largest private company, and they have control of the entire food supply on the planet, everything, right? Farms, seeds, production, distribution. I mean, Cargill has almost every company that you can imagine related, and it's private. It's privately held, which is interesting because normally if you get too big, they go, oh, you got to get listed or whatever.
Yeah.
They're so big, they're exempt from all that. And actually, they say that on their website. I'm like, that does not make any sense. Anyway, they did a scenario. And again, this was in 2015, and you can still see some of the trailers and remnants of it because they couldn't completely scrub it. And it was a scenario that in 2020, something big happened on the planet. And then over the next years, there was this droughts or flooding or bizarre hail or crazy weather stuff. And the price of food like doubled within the first few years. And it kept going up and going up. And it went up to 400% of baseline. And it stayed there for the rest of the decade. They did not scenario in hyperinflation, which I think we're going to be hitting here pretty soon. And it stayed at 400%. And then they had, you know, what, how does it react? The protest, of course, the protests, right? You know, and the this and the that and the violence and the that and how, and then the soundbite. So, and of course, all the countries are initially contentious with each other because we're talking about scarce resources. So let me just up to date you on that. That exactly is what has happened. Our food, the cost of food has pretty much doubled. Even here in the U.S. and a lot of other places, it's more than triple or even 10 times as much. We've had all these bizarre weather events. Oh my God, imagine that. There's been drought, which has really hampered global production. I mean, so everything that they scenarioed. But here was the thing that really puzzled me when they did this scenario, and it just had me like, I just put it in the back of my mind of what, this is one of those WTF thoughts, right? And they said, okay, so there was this global food crisis, and at the end of the day, cooperation won, and a global carbon tax solved it all up, solved all the problems. And I thought, what does global carbon tax have to do with global food production? I mean, like, for me, in my brain, it was just like, that, how could it possibly be coral? What are they, you know, what is the, what, you know, like, it was so bizarre and so weird, I just put it out of my mind. By the way, you can go Google it now or use your favorite, you know, Brave or something, food chain reaction. And there still is, like I said, some of their little snippets are there. But they took the main website down in 2020.
Yeah, of course. Food chain reaction. I remember reading about that. I didn't know that Cargill was involved. Yeah, I think that in these cases, they work backwards. They want the carbon tax. That's the end goal. And then they say, well, how can we make it so that people start to see the carbon tax as a viable alternative? They never, it's funny about the carbon tax, they never mention how they're going to use the taxation that they raise to solve the problems that, of course, they themselves created.
So, but I mean, like, that scenario is rolling out just exactly as they had scenarioed it. And, you know, the global, you know, I'm looking up flights, and they'll tell you, if you go on Google and look up your flights, they'll tell you how many kilograms of carbon. But what is really bizarre is, you know, the average backyard food production plot, like, you almost zero carbon, right? You know, it's like, we use way less water, we use way less chemical, you know, we don't use any chemicals, you know, there's no petroleum to move products, there's no packaging, you know what I mean? Right. And yet they had an article like a little while ago that came out that said the backyard food production is 500% more inefficient than conventionally grown food. And I used to just say, oh, that is so stupid, nobody will pay attention to it. But I've seen so many things that are so stupid that nobody should pay attention to, that the next thing you know, it's mainstream narrative. So I'm like, yeah. Now I'm like they're starting to have they're starting a little warfare on backyard food production.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
If you're trying to starve out the population and starve them into compliance with your agenda, then of course I would suspect that they would view people that are self-reliant as the enemy. You're going to be harder to coerce if you, it doesn't, the math of course doesn't make any sense. Cause like you said, you don't have to truck the food that you're growing. It's in your backyard. You just walk outside and grab it. So you've cut down on the petroleum of moving it, the packaging that's involved in that, the just-in-time delivery service, the cashiers that have to work at the grocery store and driving their cars to get there every day.
The air conditioning, the freezing, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, the whole thing. Like, in most backyard producers are doing this organically and make their own fertilizer. So there's no, most of the commercial fertilizers are some sort of petroleum product. It's just utterly ridiculous, but I've learned that, you know, it's utterly ridiculous, but I've learned that, like, utterly ridiculous doesn't mean anything anymore. If they keep pushing it, then all of a sudden that's the truth. I'm like, it just astonishes me how stupid things can be. You know,
the media has no respect for the reader. In fact, they treat them like, I would say they treat them like children, but they don't treat them even that well. They treat everyone with such utter disdain. They want you to go read the headline and then go about your day thinking that, oh, urban farms, they produce, they're way worse than commercial farms. I'd love to see the math on that. I'd love to see them show their work in any way, shape, or form.
I read it, and it just is ludicrous. They were saying, oh, you know, they use cinder blocks and stuff like that, and that uses so much carbon in the manufacturing, so it's therefore more inefficient. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You got combines, you got irrigation. They didn't count any of that. You know, like, no, it's just utterly ludicrous. But
ban cinder blocks. That's where we're going next.
It's the headline. That's all they want out there. And then that's it, you know.
Since you and I spoke last year, the headlines have been kind of crazy. We've seen a lot of So we've got our problems with factory farms, but we know they exist. Factory farms just up and exploding for no good reason when they're not getting hit by random airplanes that crash into them, or train derailments, or chicken farms that just catch on fire and start.
But the dairy farm in Texas, 18,000 cows died from an explosion. There is nothing on a dairy farm that would have that kind of explosive anything, you know? How does that happen? Yeah.
It feels like agricultural terrorism, if I didn't know any better. I mean, that you would have... You know, and I'm not naive. I understand. Sometimes there's fires and sometimes there's derailments, and I get it. But when it happens to the point where people are starting to say, well, it looks like it's factory farm arson season, you know, as if there's like a time during the year. It's like, well, here we go again. We saw this last year. Is this part of a much larger agenda to make sure that we are starved out at some point? Or
absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's exactly what the agenda is. And I will say that everybody watching this, if you aren't already growing some of your own food, you need to start right now, because this is, it's happening. Like, I know, Charlie, you're talking about all the headlines. I mean, we're talking about food today, but we have the banking system is, God knows what they're doing to keep that thing pumped up. You know, they've just created World War III with that whole Israel Hamas thing. It's going, and then more and more the alien stuff is coming out, the political scene is insane. I don't think we're going to actually have, if we have an election, it'll be such a clown show that nobody will take it seriously. I mean, we're on this precipice. I wish I had that map for you. There are farmer revolts happening all over Europe. It's not like one or two in Poland and one or two in Germany. It's all over Europe. And actually, I have to credit David Dubine for showing that map and then saying, look at how creative they are. They're getting, the farmers know that they have the power. And if they stop the food supply, that is what topples governments, right? When people get hungry is when governments get toppled. And so they've structured this, the powers, what should we call them? I hate calling them the global elite, because that's giving them too much status, but whoever the managers of this planet are right now, they're so creative. They're getting the farmers, because through the legislation, they piss the farmers off so much that the farmers are doing it to the population. They've got us fighting with each other, and nobody's looking at who really is the cause of this. But it is happening. And, the United States, we've been pretty graced with that so far, in spite of our food prices only doubling. It's not that bad here yet, but it is coming, and it is coming really, really, really fast. And you still have time to do things. The early adopters have the advantage. Like right now, you can go buy some land hens, and you can go buy some rabbits. You can buy seeds. There's lots of seeds in stock. You remember 2020? I couldn't buy them. I had people calling me up all the time. You know where seeds are? I'm like, yes, this company has some or that, but. They're by and large, they were gone, you know? So we know it's falling apart. We know it's breaking down, right? I know you're talking about it all the time on the show. Like, it's time to take action to secure your food supply, because the alternative is going to be that credit card.
Yeah, I know. And I've never thought about food growing so much in my life. But last year, 2023, in Acapulco, Wednesday night, they did movie night, and they showed the Dutch Farmers film that I thought was fascinating. It was in English subtitles, so I read the movie, I suppose. Yeah, and it was amazing to see what was going on there. We've seen it recently, the sort of pushback in Europe. And you're right. It is, on the one hand, great that the farmers are standing up. They need to. They can't allow themselves to get pushed around. However, I think, and hopefully they are aware, that they could inadvertently be creating a crisis if they get themselves into a spot where they're not delivering food for the people who are their allies, not the government, of course, but to find that balance between delivering for the people that need it the most while simultaneously putting pressure on these authoritarian governments. That's an interesting trick for them to do. But first things first, let your voices be heard and spray those government buildings with manure like they've been doing in Belgium and in the Netherlands and in France and hopefully elsewhere. I think Poland is starting. They're starting to get in on it there. I'm for it. I'm for all of the disruptions against the government, as long as the farmers also keep it in the back of their mind that at some point they're going to need to start making food for sure and ignore these politicians. Do you think is that how we get out of this situation, the farmers to the rescue?
I don't think so, honestly. You know, the farmers, they're dumping grain out onto the road. They're blockading roads. They're destroying roads so that the grain can't, you know, the food supply can't get through. Because they're at the end, right? They're talking about their livelihoods and everything being gone. And when you have nothing left to lose, you're like, okay, if I'm going down, everybody's going down. And so it's going to get uglier there. Do you know what really shocked me was like recently, what was it last week when that trucker boy or whatever, like just barely started going and he incited that whole like, okay, we're going to shut down supply to New York City.
Yeah.
And then like 2 days later or something like that, he has like, oh, no. You could tell somebody had gotten to him because even his languaging changed. But it just showed me how like, oh my God, that is so like, yeah, it wouldn't take much to shut down New York City.
Yeah.
And so we're really on the tipping point here in the United States of like 95% of stuff is shipped around by trucks and your food comes to you on an average of 1500 miles and your grocery store only has 4 days worth of food in inventory. You know,
it's time to get serious about this.
It's time to get serious.
Let's start with step one. For those of you out there that feel, okay, let's do this. Let's start with the book, The Grow System. You want to go to thegrownetwork.com and find the book and get it in paperback just in case, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just so you've got it, maybe even put it in like a plastic Ziploc bag just in case. You don't want this thing to get wet. This will save your life. So we're going to have to be proactive, right? We're not going to be able to sit back and let this stuff come to us. We're going to have to get our hands dirty, physically, actually get our hands dirty, get them in the soil and learn about this. But one of the things that I have taken great comfort in knowing is that this is teachable. This information, this isn't locked up in the vaults of the Vatican somewhere. You can teach people how to grow their own food. It's just a decision. Are you ready to do it or not? Right. And you don't even have to have a massive backyard. You and I have talked about growing microgreens and growing potatoes and buckets and things like this. So if you're somebody that's finally having this epiphany, they're going, yeah, you're right. The everything is adding up. This seems very bad. At the bare minimum, it's not the worst skill to have, even if I never use it. So where does somebody start when they make this decision that they want to grow some food?
Well, if it's the perfect time to start a garden, because gardens are very dependent on timing, right? Like you don't ever start a garden in July in Texas, right? You don't start a garden in Colorado in December. So if it's, and we're getting close to that time for different, like in the southern parts of the United States right now, it's the perfect time to get a garden going. So if that's good, the timing is good, you know, work on that garden. And I don't recommend a large garden. I recommend just 100 square feet. So that would be 250 square foot beds that are like 5 feet wide, but 10 feet long. Make them out of cinder blocks. You can stack those cinder blocks too high. You don't have to glue them or anything. Just put them in place. Buy the best quality soil you can. And and I've got all the instructions and everything in the book here. But if it's not the right time, and actually what gets food going a lot faster and it's more calories and more nutritionally dense, people always think of me, the margarine, the gardening. I'm like, no, animal products by far are way more efficient and nutritious, honestly. So I really recommend getting 6 laying hens. And I recommend getting 6 because they are flocking animals. They like to have companionship, and they like, it's also kind of a security thing. They feel way more secure in a flock. But here's the numbers on that. A medium size egg, which is probably what you'll be producing, maybe large ones, but 62 calories in an egg. A laying hen will do about 250 eggs a year. They take a little time off once a year to do what they call molting their feathers, where they change their feathers out. And of course, if it's too hot or too cold, they don't, you know, they're miserable. They don't lay as well. It's about 250 eggs a year, six hens. It's going to be 1,500 eggs a year. And if you want to think about what that really is, that's three egg omelets for you every day for breakfast. You have breakfast completely covered right now, and then you'll have 33 dozen eggs left over for to barter or trade or other recipes or whatever. And people, like, there was the whole whatever about eggs and cholesterol, which is completely insane. I've been eating lots of eggs for 30 years now. Lots of people eat lots of eggs. And I want to talk to you, like, give you the, like, right now, malnutrition is the problem in the United States. We all go, the reason people are so fat is it's full of empty calories. Their body is saying, feed me some more. We need some nutrition, right? Maybe eating more and more. So, an egg, right? We all know a raw egg. There's kind of that clear stuff on the outside, and then there's that yellow yolk on the inside. What that is the clear stuff is mostly some water and a little bit of protein. And then that yolk, if you get a fertilized egg, sometimes you'll see a little speck of blood there where the genetic material from the rooster met up with the yolk. That yolk is a food sac that has all the minerals and the vitamins and the nutrients, the macronutrients and the micronutrients and everything that's needed to turn that slimy mess into a little chick that has legs and a beak and eyes and organs and little wings. And it's a little creature that, like, not only it, and then it has the strength to, like, totally peck out of that shell. In fact, if you ever break the shell for it, the chick won't be viable. It has to break through it on its own. And then it has enough energy also to be kind of waiting around for about 3 days, because all the eggs don't hatch at once normally. And so the nature set it up to where these chicks can hang around for a couple of days while the hen may still be, the rest of the flock is hatching. And then sure, mama will get them down and they go out and start foraging. But it's all in that yolk. If there's that much nutrition to do that and energy and power and vitality to do that, that's my definition of a superfood, right? Like, yeah. It's the incredible edible egg, right? There used to be a saying years ago, right? And so here's the thing. So we got the coop plans in the thing, and I talk all about how to raise chickens in the book. And we also had that free webinar that's at your website. Is it Charlie's Backyard Farm?
Backyard Farm, yeah. If you go to macroaggressions.io and then in the partners page, you'll find the Grove Network there. You can click on that, and all this information is right there for people that want to
figure that out
if it's easy.
But if you think about it, like, if you're handy, you can build the chicken coop in the run. 2 weekends or something like that. And if you're not handy and you have the resources, pay somebody to do it. They can knock it out in just, like, even a day, a professional carpenter or somebody who knows what they're doing. It just doesn't take that long. Set your waterers up, set the feeders up, either go off the Craigslist or the local, farm store and get your six laying hens. It'll take a couple of days to get adjusted and then bam, like in a couple of weeks, you're going to have breakfast every day.
Yeah.
Figured out, right? Like, that's huge, right? And
yeah, in a world where there's food insecurity, it is huge. It's huge to have. You're right. That would be exactly what you would do. You would start that process in your backyard and have some hens laying breakfast for you. And then you're not going to starve to death. At that point, then you can add on other items, right? Is this about the time your garden is starting to take off a little bit more, or you're starting to make some mistakes and get comfortable? Yeah. I'm screwed up the first batch, but maybe here I have to go to the second batch. Hopefully your book shaves that learning curve down a little bit. And so that people
Look, I've been knowing that this is going to happen for 2 decades, and I've spent that whole time. The reason we talk about gardens and chickens and rabbits is those are the easiest and simplest and most accessible for the average American to get going. And I've looked at every, and there's lots of wonderful ways to grow food. Don't get me wrong. There's beekeeping and mushrooms and lamb and goats and aquaponics, and there's all kinds of ways to do it. But these three, hands down, are the fastest and easiest for people who have no experience and maybe they're older or they're out of shape. This is the fastest way to get a lot of calories and nutrition up and running as quickly as possible. So that's what this is designed for, is just for this crisis right here. The crisis near you.
And one of the things I think is pretty nice is your grow map, because then that gives people the opportunity to just take a look at where they are and see how it is laid out. I mean, we make some assumptions about whether or not you live in a good place to grow based on the weather, but there may be other factors, right? The soil and the time of year. So this map seemed to be very helpful for.
Yeah, the principle is whatever grows locally naturally is going to be the easiest food source to produce, right? So people often think, Marjorie, why are you living in Puerto Rico? And really, it comes down to this: is I'm not going through the apocalypse without chocolate. And chocolate cuts too. And now I could do chocolate in Texas. I could do chocolate in Colorado, or, you know, many of the places I've lived, you can do it, but it's like god awful. You got to create a greenhouse and you got to manage it. Here it grows wild. I'm like, that's why I live here. A couple of other reasons. I've always wanted to learn Spanish, and men like to dance, like Latino men, very proud of their ability to dance. I love that.
some very nice tax purposes for being in Puerto Rico as well.
I don't really make enough to have that be a thing for me, but I do love that they brought in so many of the Bitcoin people and the crypto people, because it's, you know, infusing this island with the whole new energy and youthfulness and purposefulness. So
there's Yeah, it's the vibe in Puerto Rico. How I've never been there.
You know, you can pretty much find whatever you want here, really. There's Dorado, where the billionaires live, and the Ritz-Carlton, and then there's Palmas del Mar, which are all these gated communities and super wealthy houses. San Juan has a lot of different neighborhoods. Condado is where, like, all the up-and-coming Bitcoiners and entrepreneurial stuff is happening, and it's really fun. Like, they're always having get-togethers and meetings and whatever, and then I live way out on the west side, which is a surfing community. And it's just kind of got this laid back bohemian surfing vibe, which is my speed these days. So, you know, in the interior, it's pretty mountainous and quiet. And so you can just pretty much, on the east side is where a lot of people who like to sail. So, it's just a fun, I love it here. So,
how is it and you say for growing food, it works for you? It's specific to what grows well in the tropics. Yeah. But
what
likes to grow there?
Bananas and mangoes and pineapples and papaya. And then there's a whole series of root vegetables, you know, the yuccas and the malanga and nyami. And then, of course, you know, all the other chickens actually are wild here because they are jungle fowl. So, you know, we've got a lot. Now, anywhere you grow, you can do this anywhere. And some of the downsides of the tropics are that we never get a hard freeze. So we have a lot more insects, you know, some people are not happy about that. And that is a great thing about living in a place that's a really cold climate. They'll set all the insects back for you. And you definitely need to have more aeration, because if you don't have, if it's gets muggy, then you got, you know, some fungal or virus type growths that can happen on things.
Right.
But, you know, anywhere you go, there's going to be something, right? It's just, and I grew up in South Florida, and so this client is like home, right? Little childhood. People say, what about the hurricanes? I'm like, I'm a native Floridian. You talk to a native Floridian, you say, hurricane. And we say, party.
Right.
Because that's what we did, you know. When the hurricane came, there was no school, the lights went out, there were these gigantic mud puddles to play in, the adults were all drunk, we could do what we wanted. You got to play with fires with the hurricane lamps, you know, it's like, it was a good time.
I'm a native Southern Californian, so when we got the big earthquake at Anarcapulco, I felt like it was just a normal day at the office. We got that 6 a.m. wake-up call on, I guess it was Tuesday morning, that
was a little bit like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah.
That got everyone's attention. First, they sent a hurricane a couple months earlier. Then they sent the earthquakes on the day of Anarcapulco. That Monday, there were people that were feeling it, That was
an earlier one.
Yeah. While there were presentations going on, I was standing off to the side and I didn't feel it, but it got my attention the next time around. But let me ask you this, since we're talking about potential disasters, the role of growing herbal medicine, because I think that's something that a lot of people just don't even think about, but you have entire courses that people can take to learn how to grow. So what are we talking about here? Because in my mind, it's like ancient Chinese herbs and things like that. And that sounds great, but my assumption is that there's a specific way in which you need to make it. And if you're wrong, it's like, you don't want to be the guy that's wrong about making the herbal medicine.
It's easier than you think. I mean, really, if you think about it, maybe your great grandparents, your grandparents did all this stuff and made medicine. They didn't have Google. They didn't have a Cuisinart. Think about 500 years ago, a lot of the herbal medicines that we use today were used 500 years ago, and a lot of them didn't even have glass jars to put this stuff in, right? The pestle and mortar and maybe a knife, herbal medicine is really, really simple. I do grow some medicines, but honestly, let me go into that. So a lot of medicines are just growing all around you. And in fact, I tend to prefer just finding medicine, which is, it's astonishing, like, what stuff around you is medicinal. The other thing is, it doesn't take a lot. And I don't recommend starting out trying to, cure cancer. Let's not do that right out of the box. But, I think the book and a lot of the courses, that especially you'll get introduced to after you go to the webinar at your site. But I just, have the 12 common things that come up in a family. Fevers, colds, laceration, blisters, burn. Do the simple little things first and, go, oh, my God, this really does, poulticing really does work. Because you already may have familiar with that, right? Usually injuries or ailments tend to repeat themselves in families, right? My family's prone to earaches or whatever it is, you kind of are familiar with that. You know what your normal treatments are. Well, just try some of this home medicine stuff, for earaches in particular. You can make an infused garlic oil and put that in the ear. Very soothing, really nice. And, see how that does for you. And chances are that is going to take care of that way better, with way less side effects and way less toxicity than anything that you, God knows what they're putting in all those drugstore formulas anymore. And honestly, really, people ask me, they think I'm not an amazing herbalist. I really, I have about 10 herbs that are my go-to herbs all the time. And I really don't have time. I would love to be an amazing herbalist, but I'm running a business. I'm doing podcasts. I got people. But I take care of my own health. And again, 10 plants. You don't need to study a lot of them and just start looking at the plants that grow around you. The book has some. If you head over to that webinar, the offer there to make for you are some classes. It's really simple and easy. And once you start doing it, you'll be like, oh, why haven't I been doing this all my life?
I know. That's kind of how I feel too. And you've got the Grow Academy the courses that are offered there. Backyard chickens, cultivating cannabis, greenhouse construction, a little bit of everything for just about anybody. So is this the best way for people?
Mm-hmm. Making home medicine. And the best deal they're going to get, though, would be to go hit that webinar that's at your website. And at the end of the webinar, we make you an offer for the book and the academy. And that's actually the best deals that the Grow Network offers. So,
it just feels like this is so. Feels like you're being given the questions to the test before the teacher gives you the test. You know what is going to be asked. You know that there's going to be a problem with food supply. They're telling us. They're blowing up facilities. They're derailing trains. They're raising the price of food. They're lowering the quality, they're lowering the amount in the food too. The shrinkflation of the packaging is they're lying to you there. God, they're lying to you in every single way in which a person or
There's no telling what's in that food. I know Bill Gates bought up a huge amount of farmland, and he's developing like spinach that has an mRNA vaccine in it.
Right.
When I first saw that, I was like, can you even do that? Like, put an mRNA vaccine in a plant? Like, I don't even know if that's real or not, but I do know that the stuff they're cranking out now is toxic. So why not? Graphene oxide is in everything. It's unbelievable what they put in graphene oxide in. You know, you can't. When I was a little girl growing up, this would be the 1960s. Mama, I want a snack. She'd hand me a carrot. My kids, when I was raising them, Mama, I want a snack. I'd have to hand my kids 10 carrots to have the same nutritional content, but one carrot my mom fed me. There's nothing in the commercial food supply anymore. That's why supplements are going freaking nuts. It's because there's no nutrition. That's why diabetes, heart disease, all this stuff is exploding, is that, you know, there's nothing in the food supply.
How much of that is soil related, that we're using poor soil that we're kind of recycling? Or, I mean, maybe it was good soil to begin with, but after you've sprayed it a couple of times, a couple of generations of that, then now it's no longer any good and we're not.
Bingo. Yeah, exactly.
That's
where plants get their nutrients from, is from the soil. And Big Ag only works on the big three macronutrients, which is nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. And a plant will look good and kind of grow under those conditions. But, you know, there's 60-something or 70-something copper, selenium, selenium, zinc, magnesium. I mean, there's all kinds of little micronutrients that the plant needs, that you need. And that's decades ago that was gone. There's the chart in the book that shows you the nutritional content of food. And this is coming directly from the federal government before they got really, really bad about reporting stuff. And there's a chart showing the nutritional content of food going down, 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 down. And then the amount of disease going up, 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 up. And then actually the chart isn't big enough for how much disease we got going on. That's why the backyard food production, soil is everything. And that's also why in the academy, we have several, we have a building in really good soil. We have vermicomposting. We have all kinds of, how to increase the vitality and nutritional content of your soil, because that's ultimately where your nutrition is going to come from.
Is that easy for people to, is it easy for them to get good soil now, or do they have to hunt for it, or is it, they just have to know what they're looking for? How would you describe what would be?
Glad you brought that up. So one thing not to do is do not buy soil from the big box stores.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. I would have assumed that, but I also, where else to go?
So. I'll tell you why, and this will gross you out completely. And I honestly don't know what to say about this. So, the sewage from our cities, like here in Puerto Rico, they used to just dump it out into the ocean, which is not a good thing. And then for, I think, a couple of decades, they had incinerators and they burned it, which is not a good thing. And now they compost it, and they have these composting facilities, which is a better thing, except for that they bag it up and they sell it as organic compost. And this is not just here. And by the way, I bought this compost here, right? And I'm a label reader. I read every single character on the bag, right? And didn't say anything about it. I opened the bag up and I could smell that it was not good compost. And I called up the Caribbean Composting Company and I'm asking all kinds of questions. And this comes from San Juan, affluent. We process it. And I'm like, well, great. Can I have the reports that you have to turn in? And they're like, well, you'll have to ask the government for those. We can't give them to you. Anyway, they gave me the runaround. But basically, this stuff is sold under, like in Austin, Texas, they call it Dillo dirt. There's another name for it. I think this is in Washington State or different places. It's called organite, or it sounds organic.
Yeah.
And it's everything you flush down the toilet, which may not necessarily be feces. And then, of course, all the pharmaceuticals that are going down in there, light industry, hospitals, dump ungodly stuff. If you have any military bases near you, God knows what they're putting into the sewage systems. And you can't compost out heavy metals. And actually, the people that test for this, and I don't know how they test it, they said one way you can tell for certain if your soil, if the, you know, the property you just bought has had this, this compost applied to it, is if there are high amounts of Benadryl. And I'm like, how do you test for that in soil? But they apparently they know how to do it. And I'm like, that's, well, at least the soil is going to be kind of chill.
Right. Never a good thing.
You know, find an organic nursery that you know and trust. There are, even here in Puerto Rico, which I didn't think, you hunt around and keep asking. There are places where, you know, maybe the tree trimmers where they send all their tree refuse. There are places that compost that, which is a better option. You know, yeah, but getting some good soil is really, really important.
What about the network that you've built in your forum discussions? Because that seems like a very valuable resource. I don't know how you put a price on that, but to have this, the community, the discussions that are going on there, international in scope, you find some people that are maybe geographically close to you. There's resources, there's groups, there's a bunch of different categories. Can we talk a little bit about the forum in your,
yeah,
your network? Do, because yeah, that seems very valuable to me. Like, I'm good to know those people.
So happy about the community of the Grow Network. And no, there's absolutely no money in that. Actually, that software costs us a good bit every month. But I just love the community. And you can, you know, take a picture of a bug and upload it. And somebody, you know, they'll have a couple of responses within an hour or two. Or like, oh, that's a da-da-da. And here's how you treat it. And just people who have had the same vision that I have it's, we've rallied together and I guess I'm a leader. Anyway, we're all there. I'm in the forums pretty regularly posting all kinds of stuff. And in fact, sometimes I have exclusive content in there where I wouldn't, you know, it's something I wouldn't put on YouTube. I'll just do it there. I don't have the team at the moment to put it all over Rumble and Patreon, all the stuff, right? So I just put it there. But yeah, it's a great group of people, and they're super experienced, and they're all really, like, they get it, and they want to help people. It's really, the whole thing is a service community, and just funny sometimes. And my moderator is Lori. Lori loves learning, and she will sometimes slap my hand around, like, Marjorie, that's, we don't allow any politics, you know, we don't allow any, you know, we just don't let it get too controversial. Like that's, yep. There's lots of other places to go for that. Right.
Sure.
And we're just focused on solutions. Like, oh, that's how you made that homemade shampoo, or, oh, that's how you process acorns, or, oh, you know, I did this tincture and it fixed that and I'm so happy and my blood sugar numbers are down or whatever, you know, I mean, you know, or jokes or fun. So we keep it very, very lighthearted and safe and because, you know, we need a respite.
Yeah, for sure. And you need a network. And this is something that I think is kind of nice for people that are, you know, you want to build a network from scratch, go for it, I suppose. But why not just plug into this pre-existing network of people that are international talking about this stuff? You mentioned sugar, so I'll stay on this, because how do we conquer sugar?
Oh yeah, we got the conquering sugar. We got a whole thing in the training. A woman I had hired worked with me for a few years a while back, was this amazing nutritionist, and I was having a bout with candida, and she was like, "You have got to stop eating sugar," and I was like, "Please, I love sugar." Yeah, and so she created this whole course that we ended up putting in there on how to conquer sugar. For me, the biggest, there's a lot. I mean, you know, it's not just one thing, right? Believe it or not, eating fat helps to cut back on sugar cravings is one of the my go-to. Is staying hydrated. But, you know, if you come to my house, you'll often see the stick of butter has tooth marks in it. I leave the other sticks for the other people, but if it has the tooth marks in it, that's margarine butter.
That's funny. Well, but it's turned into a huge health issue in the world in general, but in America in particular. I mean, we are just so deficient in our nutrition. And you mentioned that earlier, where everyone's eating more because the, what they eat doesn't have the nutrition that it used to. And then we're overloaded with sugar, and it's easy and it's prevalent. And they've made high fructose corn syrup out of it now. So now they've even taken our food, which we should be eating, and they've turned it into candy.
Yeah, one of the modules she has in there, which I thought was really good, is like, what is sugar? And people don't realize bread is sugar, right? It digests so quickly and turns into sugar in your bloodstream almost immediately. And there's a lot of foods that that's my sandwich. There's no sugar in here. I'm like, yes, there's sugar in here. They catch it up, loaded with sugar. The bread turns into sugar almost immediately, you know. So what is sugar was a really, really very informative part of that training to go like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I need to get honest about my sugar addiction. I've had someone say, oh, you have a sweet tooth. And another friend of mine said, no, you have a sugar addiction. Yeah, let's just call it what it is.
Sugar addiction is the thing. Yes. I love sugar too. I go off and on it all the time. I go, and I get clean out and fast for a day or two and straighten things out. Yeah.
So your background is fascinating to me. The Robert Kiyosaki background, you know,
oh, yeah.
that to come out of that into, it really probably shouldn't surprise me that you've built this massive network, because that's really one of the things that he was good at doing, was building this network. But let's talk a little bit about your advisory board, because this seems like this is like the Knights of the Round Table. How did you find this group? Was this something that just presented itself over the years? You started interacting with these people and said, I might need to talk to you later. Like, how did your advisory board come?
Almost every one of those people I've worked with. And then if, I don't know if you recall, but for years, every year, annually, I would host the Homegrown Food Summit, right? and we'd have 35 to 40 presenters, and that as a business model used to work really, really well. It no longer really is economically viable. The last couple of ones we did, it cost way more money to produce than what we actually gained from it. But yeah, from then I would highlight Flan, the world's number one premier permaculturist, you know, Joel Salatin and I have a call every year, you know, just different people in the industry that helped out and or participated or I met. Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been at this almost 20 years. So, I mean, you know, you talk about almost any influencer or podcaster or whatever, especially all the alternative media stuff. It took me years. I kept trying to hit mainstream media all the time because that's what you do. Like, you know, that's what you try to do, right? And then it just never worked for me. It really was interesting. Like, it never worked. And now I realize, oh, yeah, of course it's never going to work. You know?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, unfortunately, I do know. And the mainstream, that you have this information. It's worth its weight in gold. You want to deliver it to them, and they're like, oh, thank you. We're not interested in this. You know, do you have anything on... something else that's unimportant to us. So you want to talk about food? I mean, I'll tell you, your dance card is going to be full when the trucks stop coming. You know what I mean? Everybody's going to want to see what's going on over it.
And that's why you need to get started right now.
Yeah.
Because when that happens, then, you know, you're not going to be able to buy laying hens. Or if you do, they're going to cost that an ounce of gold or something like. And now, you know, $20, $30, not a big deal. I just picked up a bunch of rabbit pellets for feed, which is, you know, until I get all the food sources growing for them, that's what I'm having to do, is $21 a bag. It used to be $8 a bag just a couple of years ago. So, you know, this stuff is still available and it's still not that expensive. Do it now. You know, this is happening. Do it now. Like, really. And I really sincerely mean this, because I feel that we have such an opportunity here with this collapse that's unfolding, regardless that they're orchestrating it. There is an opportunity for us here to break free of this control that we've basically been under for millennium, millennium, right? Humanity. It was actually such a relief to learn about how much control we've been under, because nothing made sense for me for most of my life. And now that I'm like, oh, that, yes, that may, yes, that's why that's all screwed up. It's, that's intentional, or they structured this because they're trying to suppress that or whatever, you know? So anyway, we are headed into, this is, you know, they're doing a harvest or whatever they call it, you know, like the depopulation agenda, it's full on, but in the chaos and the melee. And I think there's more and more people are starting to become aware of the situation we're in and the who we're really at war with versus the sides that they've created. Right. I feel there's a great opportunity for us to be able to finally break free from this, but we will not do it without backyard food production. They own the grocery stores. They own the trucks. They own the farms. Like most people, everything they eat is controlled by that system. So you've got to get off that system. I know everybody's like, well, the InfoWars and my guns. And I'm like, you have got to start growing food.
It's part of this. Can we rehash this, since we talked about it last time, but I'm willing to talk about it again. For those with limited space, growing microgreens, growing potatoes, things like that. Let's say you're in a city, you're in an apartment. It's not the ideal situation for you for something like this, but you're proactive and you're a problem solver and you think you can get around this. What can you grow in your house without space?
Well, let me tell you about the power of herb, and it's not just the cannabis. First of all, some potted herbs, like let's say three or four herbs, basil, mint, chives. These are all bulletproof, which means they're really strong plants and they're going to be way more forgiving of you. Put them in as big a pot as you can fit on your windowsills. That way there's more soil there. That way it'll be more forgiving of your erratic watering schedule. And first of all, if you haven't ever put in a little bit of fresh basil on a dish, it is mind-blowing how much better that food tastes with just a little tiny bit of fresh herb up there. It really is shocking to me that a little bit of fresh herb can make such a big difference to a dish, but it really does. And the other thing is everything you learn from those three or four little plants, like if there's not enough sunlight, they get real leggy and pale green. If they don't have enough water, they kind of turn yellow and then crispy brown, you know. You know, everything you learn from those plants in that windowsill, not to mention the habit of interacting with them, even if it's just for those few minutes a day, is going to be exactly the same. Those plants will behave the same way when you've got like 100-square-foot garden, or if you're managing acres of crops. And you might say, Marty, I'm never going to be managing acres of crops. I'm going to tell you, you have no idea what you're going to be a couple of years from now. None of us do.
You're kidding. Yeah. I never thought I'd be talking about food. Next thing you know, I've got you on a bunch of times. I've had Jim Gale on. We're talking about food forests, about things that I'd never even considered before. So yes, you're right.
Just get started. And there's lots of other things. Like you can grow mushrooms in a closet or, you know, in an apartment. Quail. I have a girlfriend I set up, gosh, it was more than a year ago. She has 10 quail in her living room, and quail eggs, even though they're little bitty eggs, you know, three or four quail eggs is equivalent to a chicken egg. So she's producing, you know, a significant amount of nutrition in her living room from the quail. And they're pretty quiet. You know, they're not super annoying like roosters or anything. And, you know, she does have to change the tray out every day, but then she's creating all this really great compost from it. I actually had people keep rabbits for meat inside the house, and then they grow forage for them inside the house. And then there's all of these wonderful little containers coming out now, like with the lights and the grow lights and the watering system and all that. And I'm not normally a big fan of that because it's a little bit more high tech. But if all you got is a condominium and you can get started growing some lettuce and some greens and that, please do it. I mean, get some experience with it. So there's
potatoes in a chicken meal.
Potatoes in a bucket. The other thing is you know, the community gardens. You know, or there's I think it's called Shared Earth, is a website where people who have a backyard but not time are, you know, you can get to meet them and work it out. Like I'll do the planting and growing and we'll share or whatever. You know, I always say if you set your intention, like, hey, universe, I really want to start growing food. Can you help me? And I'm going to be open to receiving the answer from you. I promise you the answer will come. The universe really wants to help you. But, you know, having an open heart and then sincerely being open-minded, because you never know where that answer is going to come from. It's been really funny how the universe has done it sometimes.
that's the trick, is that you have to ask for it and then not be so picky about the way in which it's delivered to you, because it comes in a variety of a person comes into your life that you're not expecting, and they've got the information, and you thought it was going to look different than how it came to you, and then in the end you go, maybe that was the signal I was waiting for.
When I first moved here, I for whatever reason I couldn't grow food at the place. It was too shady and all different places, crazy. So I was living near this one place, and they had this walkway to the beach, which was kind of followed a little stream. It was a little semi-forested area. And I just got a pickaxe and went out there and just carved out a little, 20 square foot garden area that I started planting tomatoes and squash and planted a couple of trees in there. And I just, like, it's guerrilla gardening. It was like public land. And, what the heck? And when I was there, I noticed there was this kind of a ratty looking bucket on the ground. I thought, oh, that's a shame, because Puerto Rico, it's generally pretty clean here. But then I noticed there was a new rope on it. And I thought, oh my God. And I looked at it and I said, oh, somebody is using this bucket to get water out of this little stream. And then I started noticing, like, there is a plant. There's a pump. There's a cacao tree. Somebody's planting trees here. Like, I'm not the only one who's, this one is guerrilla food foresting, right? I'm guerrilla gardening. We're all planting in this public. And it turned out to be my next door neighbor. That's so funny. It turned out to be my next door neighbor, because he was looking at this garden coming up and going, who is that? You know, I'm looking at the food board, so I'm like, who is that? And we are right next door to each other. It's so funny.
You've got to put yourself in a position for magical things to happen. I am I'm glad I reconnected with you again. Glad I saw you at Narcapulco. I feel like that's a place where you've got interesting people that are talking about homesteads and blacksmithing. I don't know if you saw what Jay Noon was doing off in the corner, but he had men camp and it was like teaching kids how to blacksmith. And he said, I got these kids out there, man. Half of them can barely handle it. They can hang with me. I'm like, Jay, it's 100 degrees outside. What are you doing to these poor kids? He's like, well, we got to get them in there early in their life and early in the morning so that they can do the blacksmithing. I was like, go for it, man.
He's totally right. Yeah, totally right. He did a good job. There's so many great people there. So, yeah.
It's an amazing place. Well, I'll tell you what, for people that are interested, charliesbackyardfarm.com is the website that's specific to us. You can go to macroaggressions.io, go to the partners page, and then through that, you'll see the Grow Network there. You can click on that link. It's the same link. But people that are starting to, you know, I mean, we have to beat everybody up a little bit, myself included too, to just start to recognize we have a problem. Good news is, there are solutions, but the bad news is nobody's coming to save you. You're going to have to do it yourself. You're going to have to recognize this. What's the best place for people to find you, to find your work?
Charlie's Backyard Farm is really the best. And that when you go there, it'll be a free webinar where I've just condensed 20 years of looking at how quickly can you get up to speed, and what are the things you need to put in place, and you'll be super empowered by that. And then at the end of that, of course, you know, we have an offer. It'll include the book and the best discount on the Grow Network Academy that you can get. And that, you know, it supports Charlie, it supports the Grow Network, it supports this whole movement. But really, please, even if you don't use up my resources, start growing food, because we are the solution. We are the leaders. We are the survivors. And if you don't have a food supply, we are not going to win this war. So you got to get out there and do it.
It's up to us, but at least, you know, if you're proactive, you can find your way around this. If you're reactive, Yeah, it's going to be a little...
We'll see you at the FEMA camp.
We'll see you at the FEMA camp. That's Marjorie Wildcraft, everybody. You can check out her website, The Grow Network, or you can go to charliesbackyardfarm.com to find everything that you need to get yourself started growing food. And if you want to connect with me, the website is the best place to do it, macroaggressions.io. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.